And we are, as a people, inherently and historically
wake up.
Opposed to secret societies, the secret oaths, and the secret proceedings.
The show that asks questions about why we don't ask questions.
What the hell is going on?
This is Conspiracy Queries with Alan Park.
Welcome to Conspiracy Queries with Alan Park. These are Conspiracy Queries, and I am Walter Cronkite. That was not a good impression. But it is something that I wanted to bring up because Walter Cronkite was a newsreader who once upon a time was the most trusted voice in America. And he was trusted because he was programmed to say things that made everybody feel good, or the bad things were said in such a way that made everybody believe him, at least. But he was a shill. And there are lots more like him still out there today. Reading the news, trying to be trustworthy. Katie Couric and that other hump on NBC, I forget his name. They don't really get to the issues. One of the issues they don't get to is a little thing called chemtrails. That sounds like a bunch of nonsense, right? But if you have chemtrails, then you've got a problem. And if you live in almost anywhere, say, on Earth, you've got chemtrails. Not everywhere, but a lot of cities and a lot of towns have them. How do I know this? Well, what I've done is I've looked up in the sky, and that was all the evidence I needed to see that the aerosol weird plume of strange smoke or whatever it is coming out of the back of a plane would then sort of roll out over time and get a little thicker and a little thicker. And then eventually we've got an overcast day, even though the forecast was for sun. If you sit there and watch the trails, oftentimes they will disperse into, or I should say coalesce, into a giant cloud cover. And aerosol disbursement from a plane or whatever's coming out of the back of a plane, ice crystals, should not be doing that and can't do that. And that's what chemtrails are. And why are they doing this? Who is doing this? When will it end? When did it stop? Fortunately, my guest is here to fill in those gaps. His name is Dane Wigington, and he has a website called geoengineeringwatch.org, and you should check that out while you're listening to this show, which is about to start right now. You should listen to this interview all the way through, everybody. Dane is with geoengineeringwatch.org and has some unbelievable, fascinating information on there. And Dane, where are you right now? You're in...
I'm on the east side of Lake Shasta in Northern California. We're being heavily aerosolized right now. There's a lot of moisture moving across us. This is one of the means that they use to migrate this moisture to wherever they choose to utilize it. But the aerosolization of the AR, the atmospheric river that precedes a lot of these storm fronts, the more condensation nuclei, the more particles they put into this, and the smaller the particles, it migrates the moisture because there's too many condensation nuclei. So even though we're getting a little bit of a drip here in Northern California, where I live, about 200 inches short of rain for the last 7 years. So
I've seen some devastating photographs of the Hoover Dam and places like that that are just incredible.
Correct.
Dane, why are we subject to this? Now, I'm always of the notion that there is an official story, which is the cloak for the actual story. And we have to know what the official story is at all times to use it as a marker to understand what the ruse is. So tell us what you understand is the reason for doing this, as stated by people who have finally caved in a little bit that it is going on, and then tell us what you have learned it is really all about.
Well, the stated purpose on numerous climate engineering, geoengineering patents is to slow a runaway greenhouse effect. And that's, again, patents like stratospheric Wells box heating for reduction of global warming assigned to Hughes aircraft, that's the stated goal, to seed the atmosphere with these reflective metallic particulates to deflect a certain percentage of the sun's incoming thermal energy. Now, if we trace these programs back to their origin, in fact, which appears to be sometime around the late 40s when they really started to ramp up, and we see by the 60s, the U.S. had weather modification budgets in the hundreds of millions of dollars. We know this. So I found a presidential document 80 pages long on the NASA archives, which we have posted, that outlines these programs as of the mid-60s. It comes down to power and control, ultimately. But as you engage in these kinds of programs, which derail the Earth's natural systems over that many years, horrific damage is done. And at this point, although there's lots of problems with the Earth's climate systems and lots of causes, anthropogenic activity has done a lot of damage. The single greatest factor of all appears to be climate engineering. So the more damage they do, the more they have to ramp these programs up to try to cover the damage already done. Power and control happening in the meantime, strategic purposes, weather warfare. We see examples like Pakistan in 2010. They showed resistance to U.S. policy. They found almost immediately their 20% of their country underwater. Same with Thailand. So you have opposing powers, Russia and China on one side of the fence, NATO powers and U.S. on the other. So you have a weather tug-of-war going on. Populations seem to be the victim of weather warfare right now. There's no arguing that. The U.S. population is literally being assaulted with weather warfare. So it all comes down to power and control. And at the same time, the more damage they've done with these programs, now they're, I believe, in a panic. I believe the power structure is literally in a panic. They've triggered things that can't be turned off, like methane mass expulsion in the Arctic, which is happening right now. So now, again, there's a lot of layers.
Sorry, what's happening right now in the Arctic?
Right now in the Arctic, this should be headlines on every paper, every TV news program around the globe.
Well, I'm glad I stopped you on it then, because you were just going to sail right through that. So tell us what it is.
Methane is filling the atmosphere right now. CH4 is methane. And so much methane is spewing from the East Siberian Shelf and the Laptev Sea that it's breaking up some of the sea ice. And the last on-site report we had, and we think they're scrubbing any data now from this, but the Russian research vessels were seeing plumes of methane from the seafloor a kilometer wide. They were seeing thousands of these plumes. We have satellite methane imagery to verify what's hitting the atmosphere. We're seeing methane counts up as high as 20,000 feet, with numbers as high as 2,400 parts per billion. That's entering really dangerous realm.
How is that related to chemtrails, though, and geoengineering?
Let's trace this back. Okay, the upper-level air currents are being radically altered by not just the aerosol spraying, but with HARP. And I'm sure you know what HARP is.
Yes.
The ionosphere heaters. Yeah, those are... For people that don't, HARP stands for High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. That acronym doesn't make a lot of sense to people, but they're basically ionosphere heaters are massively powerful ground-based radio frequency transmitters. In the case of the original HARP facility, up to 3 billion watts. They can heat the atmosphere, the ionosphere, which causes electrical chain reaction. They can heat the ionosphere up to tens of thousands of degrees Fahrenheit over massive areas, hundreds of square miles.
Wouldn't mind a little bit of that right now, I got to admit.
Perhaps, yeah. So they can steer the jet stream with this. So as they're altering the upper-level wind currents, that in turn alters ocean currents. Now we have warm water being pumped straight into the Arctic. There's water, ocean currents that used to deflect and go below Greenland are now pumping right into the Arctic. That's thawing the methane on the seafloor. That's causing the methane to migrate to the surface. And I'm not saying this is the only cause. Again, none of this is a this or that equation. There's a lot of factors, a lot of anthropogenic causes, but climate engineering by far the biggest. So now this methane hydrate, frozen methane on the seafloor, is releasing. And this has been happening for many years around the globe, Bermuda Triangle. It's methane release. It aerates the water like a bottle of champagne. The ships don't have buoyancy. They go to the bottom. But those are small pockets of methane compared to what's releasing now in the Arctic. So methane, although you hear the scientific community referring to it as being 20 times more potent than CO2 as a greenhouse gas, that's over a 100-year time horizon. Over a 10-year time horizon, methane is 100 times more potent than CO2. Hmm. It's like covering the planet with a layer of glass. It's happening now. So, again, that they have not allowed the planet to respond. The climate engineering has thwarted the hydrological cycle. It's disrupted all the planet's natural response mechanisms, if you will, and so there's just a lot of different aspects now that are feeding into the equation that I think are making the power structure ever more desperate. And what do they do when they're desperate? They do more of what they did to get us there in the first place.
Right. All right. For those folks listening who are skeptical of this claim, well, first of all, I can't believe they're even listening to this show. So thanks for joining us. And but if you're skeptical of these claims, then I guess the first thing that I want to do is say, do we have a precedence? Government or the military to pull off some kind of operation this large and this affecting on so many people without owning up to the real reason for it? Do we have a precedence for this kind? Because obviously, if what you're saying is true, there's a whole bunch of criminal activity going on by some people that don't really have our best interests at heart. So a lot of people have a tough time understanding that. A lot of people don't understand, you know, Mark Twain even telling you not to trust your government. Still don't get it. I feel sorry for them. I really do. I feel like, you know, they just aren't cluing in. But do we have a precedent so that you could show those people, well, no, they did this already and it's verified, so it's feasible that this other geoengineering is going on?
Well, even if we go back as far as the Manhattan Project, which is the typical example people use, and at a time when there really wasn't the surveillance means that they have now, where they can surveil everything, every bit of communication, and they were able to keep that quiet with a tremendous amount of people involved. But now that people know that everything, every bit of communication is monitored, and I think that puts a great fear in people for stepping forward. And also we have compartmentalization. The vast majority of people involved with these programs have really no idea what they're doing. And I was able to speak with a KC-135 pilot who was a friend of a friend, and he had no idea what he was doing up there. And when he went back to inquire as to what his exact mission was, flying from here to there, and the last word I got about him was he was medicated behind a desk. So I think we have tremendous compartmentalization, these people being told they're doing something benevolent, something for the common good,
mm-hmm.
when the truth couldn't be anything further from that. But as we bring it to light, and we are rapidly bringing it to light, it starts to put pressure on the people involved with these programs from their family members. And
yeah, they're the threats. You're talking about threats. Like, how could people get away? Certainly someone would say something. That's what they always say. It's like, yeah, well, the guy's had his daughters were threatened, so he's not going to say anything. You know, that's
exactly.
Easy to do.
Even if they have the courage to step forward themselves, when they start threatening family members, it's a different game completely. And with the American public, my God, I mean, we have film footage of these tankers spraying at altitude, up close, personal, nozzles visible, turning on and off, end of argument. There's no speculation. It's happening, period. And we take Building 7 from 9/11 coming to the ground at free fall speed. How can anybody see that and not connect the dots?
I don't know. Why are you asking me this question? I've been listening to this question for like 12 years now. Get off my case. I don't know why they don't see it. It's right in front of your face. Oh, that impossible thing. I'm just going to go ahead and believe that now. I mean, it's a great trick. I mean, they did a great job. You got to give them a pat on the back for that, at least.
Well, I think after they knew they could get away with something that blatant and glaring, they just do anything they want. And at this point, the only thing that's in our favor, it's a double-edged sword, as the ecosystem and the climate system implodes, the damage is so visible, so manifest now, that it's getting hard for people to keep their head in the sand.
Is there anyone lying to us about that we can trace that they're lying to us and saying, well, yeah, we're doing stuff, but it's for the benefit of, you know, we're trying to help out here? Is anyone saying that?
They only make statements like that in suggestive fashion. For example, John Holdren, Obama's science advisor, discussing things in a manner that, yes, we might get desperate enough to use climate engineering. Anybody is rationally a fool to not think this is going on for the simple fact that why would the military ask our permission when the top military brass has stated on the record? In fact, I had a high-level meeting at the California State Capitol almost at the top of the ladder 2 weeks ago, and this is the particular question that I think broke the ice with them. We have the military top brass stating on the record climate change is the greatest threat to U.S. national security. Why in the world would we think they're not engaged in this right now?
Mm-hmm.
Of course they are. They're not going to ask our permission. We would be fools to think that. And how many examples of the U.S. government experimenting on populations, our own populations, do we have to have before we realize that this is certainly going on? And there's no denying that this material is coming down on us. We have films of it being dispersed at altitude. I mean, this is a 2+2=4 equation. In the case of California also, the drought that's happened here, we have a continuous chain of satellite photos off the western U.S. coast, the eastern Pacific, blanket spraying, grid patterns. We know scientifically the effect of that. Cuts off the hydrological cycle. We have drought in California. 2+2=4.
That's mm-hmm. simple. Yeah.
So they're starting to realize this at the state level. I mean, I think there's big wheels turning on this issue, and a lot of things are starting to come to light, but I think that makes the power structure even more dangerous. Their hand is being forced now, and I think that's when there seems, we can really expect.
This is what I find that there seems to be a problem with, and it's a perception problem. And what I mean is that the longer this thing goes on unchecked fully, I mean, you're checking it all the time. I mean, it should be a common knowledge thing, the way we all now know that smoking is dangerous. And you can choose to do it or not, but you know it's dangerous, not like the 50s where your doctor was telling you to do it. But the thing is, over time, the longer this goes unannounced or, you know, out of the mainstream, not in the newspaper on the front page, as you say, these angles should be represented and we should be hearing about it. The longer it goes like that, the harder it's going to be when it finally becomes clear for people to accept. Like, I can accept if you fooled me for a day or two, and it's a little harder to be fooled for a week. But to be fooled for however long they've been doing this, what are we at, 15 years now or something? It's going to be hard for a person to sit there and go, wow, so that was going on the whole time. I was denying it, and now I've got to sort of confess that I was completely off the mark about it. And, you know, like, I just don't see people doing that en masse. They're just going to keep on ignoring it. So hopefully people like you and people like me and these other kinds of shows that are trying to bring this to light are going to make it so that at least enough people can affect change, because you're never going to get everybody to realize the obvious.
If our circumstances were going to remain relatively linear, I would agree with that. And certainly it's been the case to date. But I would argue the equation is so nonlinear and unraveling so quickly that even those that have dug into a certain position and are now trying to defend it will have no ground to defend it with soon. And we have examples happening like, well, just a few days ago in Dallas, Texas, it was in the 80s, and it snowed the following day. Amarillo, Texas, May 1st, 2013, was 100 degrees on the ground. We documented that. We did an article on it. It snowed the next day. From 100 degrees, all-time record high, to snow the next day. And now we know they're artificially, chemically nucleating the snow, and a lot of people have taken notice of this. I've been writing about it for several years. But now, finally, it never occurred to me. Frankly, never occurred to me to take a torch to the snow. All this research I had done, and I just didn't think about doing that, and someone thought about it. Now,
I don't know why. I do it all the time, but anyway.
Yeah, why wouldn't we think about that?
I never thought about trying to light snow on fire. It just never occurred to me. But able to do this. You were able to light snow on fire.
Well, what they're seeing is what we'd expect to see with chemically nucleated moisture, that it's sublimating. It's transitioning from a solid state to a gas without really going through a liquid phase, and that's what we're seeing. And it's not uniform in all areas. You always have somebody who writes and saying, I tested my snow, it's behaving normally.
Sure.
Of course, it's not going to be the same everywhere. But it is sublimating. We have enough lab tests. We knew all along. We've been testing it. We knew it was full of nucleating materials. And now we have other leaks in the dam starting. We have Popular Science that perhaps by mistake publicized that they found E. coli floating around at 33,000 feet. They couldn't figure out why. Well, we know E. coli is a very powerful biological ice nucleator, and there's actually documented experimentation being done with E. coli as a bacterial nucleator. I just put out an article yesterday showing lab tests of dropping a few drops of bacterial nucleation into a vessel of water. It freezes it instantly. And people need to understand how powerful these elements are. So with these storms we have now, the Weather Channel explaining to us that every winter storm now has a warm side and a cold side. Really? Since when? One side is tornadoes and thunderstorms, subtropical moisture. Then you have an ice zone transition between the two, which is where this nucleated material is hitting the ground before it actually sets up. And further into the core of the storm, where it's been really saturated with this material, you have the cool down. And I mean, this snow is anything but natural.
It's like a McDonald's McDLT, where it's hot on one side and cold on the other. That didn't work either, and it wasn't good for us, and this also needs to stop. We're going to stop right now and take a little break. That's the way it goes. Stick around. We'll be back with Dane Wigington. Yeah, I was a little sarcastic there, but I get frustrated with people.
No, no worries. I appreciate your demeanor.
Oh, good. Okay.
You're very good at what you do.
Can't take all this seriously. I mean, I believe it, but you know, I just can't get all worked up about it because I just can't. But, you know, I mean, I want to get to the bottom of it, but I'm just skeptical, and I don't care. I don't have respect, I guess, for the masters of doing. You know what I mean? Like the people that are geoengineering, the people that have decided to do this, the military that's involved with it, the secrecy that's involved with people that are supposed to be representing our best interests, which if you haven't figured out by now, isn't happening. I don't know. She,
the article we just posted, a few days ago, the PhDs are wrecking the planet. And, you know, we address that issue. I feel the same disdain.
Yeah. So that's why I get sarcastic about it and I get, you know, offended and offensive and rude. And I just really don't care anymore. Like, I'm not going to be rude to you, but I'm not going to be I just won't take this stuff anymore. You know, I know it's happening. I know that there's a lot of this crap going on and there's a lot of lying in government, which isn't exactly a newsflash, other than a lot of people still govern themselves as if that couldn't possibly be the case. So
I'm not going to have that option much
that's
longer.
That's my rant on that. Sorry. So listen, I wanted to get into some a different aspect. You've been on some other shows, and when I Googled you, you know the way Google finishes your thought for you. It says, Dane Wigington murdered. What the hell is that all about? Why would that come up?
I had some panic calls to me, too, with that, and I don't know whose game that was, but...
Well, it also said that you were discussing some other chemtrail scientists who were murdered, apparently. And then there's not a really straight line on the internet about whether – I just don't have the truth of what happened as a result of that interview. Apparently, your interview with another show, I guess it was Coast to Coast or somebody, was pulled, but I was able to find it. But I found information that it had been pulled and that you're in a bit of a dangerous situation overall just because you're talking about this. So I guess the specificity isn't really important, but are you looking over your shoulder when you walk down the street?
Not particularly, no, because we're all going down. The ship is going down right now. So we can speak out now while we can, or we could just go silently into the night, if you will. So no, I don't look over my shoulder. And whoever put that bit together was sort of a hodgepodge of different things that didn't belong together, but perhaps somebody's idea of a game. But I think people need to realize that there's no spot you can hide from what we face. And it's up to everybody to stand up now.
Yeah. Yeah, like I just want to read from this thing a little bit from last year. It says, and there's tons of this on the net. You can find it everywhere because there's a lot of junk out there. But it says, breaking, chemtrail scientist murdered after going on national radio. Environmental scientists Eugene Malov, Juventina Villa Mojica, and Dorothy Stang murdered after releasing lab test results linking chemtrails to the mass death of fish, plant, and animal life. And then apparently in the interviews themselves, none of this kind of information even comes up. Their deaths were apparently unrelated and explainable. But I don't know if I just wanted to know if you knew about it and if you felt like you might be in that boat as well. So you feel like you're okay.
Well, I don't know. You know, I have no way of knowing, but what am I to do? Just not address this issue? I mean, if the ship's going down, it's up to all of us to stand up. So I hope others stand up with me. And those that are choosing to remain silent, thinking somehow it's going to protect them from what's coming, they're wrong. They're simply wrong. So I would argue that it's very late in the game, and we need everybody on deck, if you will. Everybody needs to address this issue.
Well, that's why you're on the show, so that's good. And thanks for coming on, by the way. Let me ask you about these. I've seen a lot of photographs over the last few years of what appear to be bizarre-looking tanks with numbers on them and pipes running along the floors of what is obviously the inside of an airplane or what looks like the inside of an airplane. And I've had pictures sent to me, and then I've had pictures. Oh, no, that's just a hoax. That's something else. Do you know of any of these tanks and planes? Do we have any, like, hard footage of, like, yeah, that's it. That's what they're doing, and there's the proof of it. Someone leaked it.
Well, anytime anybody puts anything out on the net, there's always somebody to come along to say it isn't so. And if we were putting the message out right now that the Earth is round, there would be people coming along saying, no, it's flat. You can see it's flat. Isn't that obvious? So in the case of all these different tank configurations, I think it would be naive to, knowing what we know, having spray or footage of these guys spraying at altitude, the material on the ground, I think any notion that this is not various configurations of spraying apparatus would be very naive. And those, again, the disinformation people deny everything right up to the video footage we have of these jets spraying. You can't deny they're spraying.
And the patents that are available. Yeah, you can look up patents for particular nozzles. That apparently don't exist. I'm going to invent a nozzle, and then I'm never going to use it.
Exactly. Exactly. We have a patent for powder contrail generator. We have patents for all these processes we see, the exact materials showing up in the ground. We have NOAA. This is where the state of our society is so dismal, it's hard to get your arms around it. But NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, putting out articles saying, in the last 10 years, the atmosphere is full of particulates, and, gee, we just can't figure out where it's all coming from. I spoke in front of the California Energy Commission, the eighth largest energy commission on the planet, and they are recognizing they're losing 20 to 40% of their rainfall from, quote, particulates of unknown origin. I served their top scientists up with a mountain of data, and that was the end of it. Never heard anything back, nothing. And we know that California is somehow, they're $30, $40, $50 billion short on their budget every year, and nobody ever seems to wonder, where does that deficit go every year? Well, you have those that print the money, same people ultimately behind these programs, same people that keep the economy afloat, the states afloat. If you don't play ball...
Well, I think a lot of the years involved that overage of the California state expenditure was something to do with Arnold Schwarzenegger's purchasing of Cuban cigars. It had something to do with it, I'm sure. But he's not there anymore, so we have a chance. Dane, what are we going to do about kids who are so young they can't even remember the difference between the way it is now a lot of the time and the way it really is supposed to be when we were kids?
You know, when they weave the stuff, actually, as I showed in my last presentation, I mean, they put these trails into animated films. It's just a conditioning. And I think the power structure believed at some point they could carry on these programs forever without consequence, and now that's clearly not the case. So, yeah, it's hard to break that mindset of people who have never truly seen natural weather. But how many of us have, Alan? If we know that these programs have been going on for 60 years, and granted, on a much, much smaller scale if we go back that far, but the system is very complex and very malleable, so perhaps few of us have known truly natural weather. And now, of course, they're ramped up to the point where there's no natural weather in any sense.
So, well, I came across my awareness of it in 1999. That's when I first thought, hey, that's not really how that goes. And of course, I couldn't find anything on it. I didn't know the word. I just thought it was quite strange. And then soon after that, there was a Native American Indian tribe, or Native Canadian Indian, or whatever. However, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. I don't know how to properly address them, but they're the native community of a town called Paris in Ontario, our province of Ontario. And they put a lawsuit together against the government, like in 1998 or something, because that's when they first noticed it. And these people are connected to nature and the earth and the cycles of the moon and the sun, and they've got a much better appreciation of natural elements, I find, than you know, us westernized folk. And they knew right away, oh, this is wrong. Yeah, it's coming out of that plane. It's been happening a lot. We don't like the results of it, and we're going to sue the government. I mean, they were so clear and on it. And, of course, that was all, you know, brushed aside, and you don't know what you're talking about. But they were on it immediately. And I just think now we've kind of lost that window for the difference, for a lot of people to realize the difference. And as you say, okay, if the weather system's already messed up anyway, what are you going to do about it?
Well, I think it's derailed to the point now, though, where it's going to be very hard to hide much longer. The train of engineered snowstorms that they've inflicted on the eastern U.S., this year, in order to create headlines, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. If you watch Weather Channel, they're trying to create headlines in certain areas. It's all they focus on. They don't focus on the fact that we're 20 degrees above normal day and night constantly in the West. They don't even mention it. But they talk about where there's a record snow here, record cold there. And so now, it appears they're simply trying to hide the issue as long as they can. But with the methane that we know is entering the atmosphere, the immediacy of that effect, I don't think that they can hide this much longer at all, and I don't know what happens at that point. And things we see happening in Ukraine and the sort of violence they're fomenting over there that our country seems to be bent on toppling one government after another, I think it's further signs of the desperation and for Kerry to stand up there and...
Oh, my God, John Kerry. That was great. Yeah. And sorry, you take it. I know what you're going to say, but go ahead and say... I was going to bring a clip of that on.
The hypocrisy knows no bounds. For him to stand up there and say no country has the right to interfere with the sovereign affairs of another country, really coming from our government, really?
Yeah, that was... I wanted to play the clip on the show today, and I may do so, but oh my God, that was astounding. I mean, you got to admire the guy's balls. Am I allowed to say that? That's just balls. That's not a swear word. Come on, serious, relax. All right.
So, you know, yeah, I think they're desperate. And I think that, again, as they can't hide the fact that they have done this to the climate, they've exposed every man, woman, child, every living thing to this toxic assault. And I think that at the point in time we reach critical mass of awareness, the game will change. And they know it, and they're maneuvering to try to prepare for it, and we're right now in a race to the intersection, period. Because there is high-level awareness of this issue. I know that for a fact because of the meetings I just mentioned to you I've had in the Capitol. And so what happens then? I don't know. We're in uncharted territory.
Well, but I'm really curious how they are able to pull this off, because you said that they were using the headlines of the winter, horrible winter that we've been having on the East Coast here to cause fear. But then I'm going to ask you, why are they causing fear? Because to me, you're saying they're ignoring the 20-degree-plus Western Coast situation. They're not mentioning it at all. They're not mentioning the drought at all. And that would be also scary. If I wanted to scare people, I would go ahead and promote the hell out of that too. So why are they not talking about drought aspects for fear when they're using harsh winter activity for fear?
Don't think I said fear. I definitely didn't. If I did say something that indicated that, that's not at all what I believe they're doing. They're simply trying to create headlines, not fear.
Oh, okay, sorry. So create headlines.
I said headlines.
Right.
And the reason is it's a method of confusing the population, and it's worked very well when we have people that are so convinced, for example, that global cooling is going on, and even people who claim to be fighting climate engineering don't seem to recognize the engineered nature of these storms. And so,
yeah, but isn't having a drought more evidence of, I mean, you know, geoengineering?
That doesn't help sell geoengineering.
But it should get headlines, though.
But that doesn't help sell geoengineering to leaders around the globe.
But having it cold does.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Because, you know, it convinces leaders in United Arab Emirates or wherever else they're trying to allow people to do this in their airspace, even though they're doing it anyway, that they can control the climate, they can turn the thermostat down, which couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, the massive regional cooling they create comes at the cost of a far worsened warming overall, far worsened. So you don't get something for nothing in this equation. But it's very, very clear. For anybody that has the Weather Channel, we just posted an article to highlight this. For anybody that has the Weather Channel, it's clear. They've been given the marching orders. Make it seem like the whole planet is a frozen wasteland. They don't talk about the fact that we just passed the warmest November on the planet Earth in history. We just passed the 37th consecutive year of above normal global temperatures. We just passed the 346-month in a row consecutive of above normal global temperatures. January was the third or fourth warmest January on the planet on record, depending on the study you look at, warmest January in Alaska. They don't talk about any of this. They simply paint the picture that the planet is a frozen wasteland. So right now, again, it's like Corexit in the Gulf of Mexico when the Macondo oil spill happened.
Yeah, the oil dispersion, right.
Exactly. They didn't care about how bad it made the situation overall, and some reports said it made it 52 times more toxic. They only cared about hiding it.
Yeah. Oh, it looks great, but it all went to the bottom.
And that's where they want to keep it. In fact, if people should wonder, how come there hasn't been any real cyclonic rotation in the Gulf since? Nothing major. They suppress any major cyclonic rotation that has any potential of stirring up that sea of oil at the bottom of the Gulf. So the manipulation is total, and the planet's trying to cool itself. It's trying to spin up cyclonic rotations. But now, on the other hand, if there's a big cyclone about to tear a path through the Philippines that might open the door for U.S. occupation, they not only let it spin, it appeared they enhanced it. So,
well, I think John Kerry's made it clear nothing like that would ever happen.
That's right.
Despite putting 156 bases of the military nature in countries or more than – in 156 countries around the world, there's American military. But you're not allowed to go in to someone else's – sorry, I'm still stuck on that.
Boots on the ground. And let's just look at that. In Africa, for example, we know these programs have been going on for decades and decades. And it absolutely appears, data supports this, that they have been droughting out African countries for decades. Drought them out, bring them to their knees, and put U.S. boots on the ground. Whatever sort of backdoor negotiations are going on, we can only guess at. But let's look at a couple real examples. The Cancun Climate Conference and the Copenhagen Climate Conferences, both record low temperatures at those conferences at the time of the conference, even in spite of warmer temperatures in the surrounding areas. Now, was that not a demonstration of geoengineering? And when they walked away, is it a coincidence that aluminum futures jumped 27%?
Well, I'm going to walk away. Dane, we got to stop right here, yeah. And we'll talk about – so stick around, everybody. We're going to come back and talk about aluminum futures. We are back with Dane Wigington. I was just making fun of aluminum futures. If you're a dealer in aluminum futures, I'm sorry. It was just a joke.
Well, certainly when we see that sort of quote-unquote coincidence, these record cold temperatures during climate conferences, no deals were made for any cutbacks on carbon, but yet it seemed a lot of backdoor deals were made for signing on to geoengineering. So you had all the major governments cut their renewable energy subsidies after these climate conferences, because why would you pay to spray the sky and block the sun and put a solar plant on the ground? So, and then we see aluminum futures go through the roof. So it's not hard to see these dots connecting. And also with Boeing, Boeing happens to be the corporation that gets the most government subsidies of all, and followed second by the aluminum industry. So there's a lot of writing on the wall here, and the bottom line is this. We have film of them spraying, same material showing up on the ground. We have global dimming of now 22 to 25%. That means 22 to 25% of the sun's direct rays no longer reach the surface of the planet. That's the express goal of geoengineering. I mean, this equation is very simple, very straightforward for any who choose to open their eyes.
Hey, if you talked about Googling, and that's pretty easy, is it? Can we get people to check their environment to see if, you know, odd things are like barium and these other odd elements that are in chemtrails are in the ground? Are they in your area? I mean, aside from finding snow you can burn, but I mean, is there a way that folks can get out there and into their neighborhood and find evidence of stuff on the ground that shouldn't be on the ground?
Well, it's
you could hook yourself up with a laboratory and go, hey, look, I found all this stuff, and
you can't.
What is it?
It's best to take precipitation samples are best.
Okay.
Precip samples are absolutely best because anytime something hits the ground, it can be argued. So the bottom line, and you heard the disinformation, people argue that aluminum is the third most abundant element, 8% of the Earth's crust. It should be in everything. That's an absolute lie. Aluminum does not, although it is a huge part of the Earth's natural strata, it does not exist in free form. It does not blow around in the rain. If it did, aluminum would have killed off all aquatic life long ago. It's killing it off now. I think I mentioned earlier we have a 90% decline in aquatic insect life in Northern California right now, 90%. So, you know, but clearly they can take a precipitation sample. In Northern California, this is what really made me focus entirely on this issue. My first precip test of 7 parts per billion of aluminum, checked with a hydrogeologist, and he was surprised to see that much given my filtered forested location. Subsequent tests went escalated almost 50,000% to 3,450 parts per billion, literally highly toxic rain of aluminum. So it's changing soil pHs here. There's so much metal falling on us. But, yeah, people could do precip tests. It's generally $20-$25 bucks per metal, something like that.
Well, you're getting away with this in a pretty impressive fashion. Let me ask you if you have any ideas on how it is that the structures of control – prevent us from finding out about it. I'll give you an example. For example, if you were to speak with a relatively optimistically minded politician who was getting into the local or state scene to make a difference, and this is bad and I don't like the way it's been and I'm gonna make things better, I do believe that a lot of people have those thoughts before they realize that, you know, the government is basically a giant criminal with you under his thumb. But they just feel like, you know, yeah, that's okay. Do you know people like that?
Yes, but they don't make it far before they're hammered into submission, if they make it anywhere at all. And I'm friends with one former congressional candidate who had that sort of treatment, and now he's operating from the outside, which I think is really the only place we can operate from. We need to have grassroots level activism and awareness here, so until we reach critical mass of awareness, because again, the system is completely bolted shut.
But here's the thing, though. I just want to get a little bit tighter on this. For example, I'll give you a specific example of what I mean. If a politician is approached with questions of this nature, of what we're discussing today, And I've seen a lot of this on video and one time live in person. The face changes. They kind of get a little uncomfortable. It's a little weird. You can't exactly know what they're thinking in their mind, but they're just going to not talk about that, and they just brush it aside. So the point is, it is a thing that's going on, and then when you want to bring it up with someone who should know about it or probably might know something about it, they act like, what are you talking about? I don't know what this is. I don't know what it means. And obviously, they could know about it, and they should know about it. And if you can do research on it, anybody can, but they just won't. So who or how is stepping into them to go, don't talk about this? Because they obviously must know, not all of them, but a lot of politicians must know about it. And somehow, even the altruistic guy who gets into the game to help others is going to be told, don't talk about that. Who's telling them that?
Well, I think it falls into maybe a number of categories. Now, in the case of people in that arena, I think there's a tremendous amount of self-censorship going on. They know the consequences of speaking out on certain issues. So whatever motives they had when they went into that arena, they quickly seem to abandon on their own just because they know how the system works. So whether they've been told directly or not, it's hard to say. In the case of meteorologists, now this is because it sort of fits in the same category. Any meteorologist with a high double-digit IQ should know this is going on, unless they're clinically blind or mentally challenged or retarded. I mean,
I've never met a meteorologist with high IQ, but they are sure good at keeping their job if they're wrong.
If they can walk and chew gum, they should know this is going on. So
yeah.
We were told by one Fox affiliate meteorologist that he was pulled into meetings. They had meetings with a number of meteorologists and told you don't touch this subject.
But who said that, though? Who said that?
People within the network. That's all we know. That's all I know. I mean, that's about all he was willing to say. But I don't doubt that. I truly don't doubt it. I mean, when we, you know, the level of this and anybody who does seem to speak about it, there was in the North State here, the main radio station in Northern California tried to get a meteorologist to debate me on the air.
Sure.
They had six no's, and they finally got a yes. And I'm not saying it's connected because I can't know that. But this meteorologist got her walking papers 2 days later. I don't know.
Well, I'd debate you too, but I agree with you, so I can't.
But I'm, you know, I can't say that's a connection for sure. I had a Stanford scientist that she's a bioscientist, nanoparticulate specialist that was going to go on film with some data for the film Look Up, which is the Skyder Alert Site film. It's won a number of awards now, and the very next day, from phone conversations there, that she was in the headlines of the local paper with a lot of stuff they drug out of the closet, you know, that hampered the issue. Coincidence again? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty so you say we're basically, your position is we're circling the drain. It is happening. There's nothing we can do to stop it? Or is there something we can do?
Oh, no. I think we can absolutely stop it. I mean, again, what I've argued the whole time, The legislative system is completely bolted shut, but if we could reach critical mass of awareness, that by itself, I believe, would start the dominoes falling. And again, the example I presented on this is this former congressional candidate I know whose brother is, he believes, a part of these programs, and their house is in absolutely civil war, these two guys. And I think if we could just bring it to critical mass of awareness, Our equation would change, and we would have every chance of stopping these programs. Doesn't mean our problems are over by any sense.
Listen, we have a guy here in Canada who his dad used to be the prime minister, which is, for those that don't know, we decided to have a prime minister instead of a president, so it's a little different. But he's a guy who was very popular and also not popular, that particular Prime Minister Trudeau, and his son is now 40 or something, and he's a contender for the next election against the conservative. So basically, he's the liberal, he's the Democrat, and he thinks, he's come right out and said, like, if you are concerned about fluoride in your water, you're a conspiracy nut. I don't really have time for this. Ask me a serious question. And meanwhile, there's an unbelievable amount of data about taking in fluoride in water supply, and there are a load of communities and cities around both Canada and the United States that are now deciding to take the fluoride out. This guy won't even listen to the conversation. So if he won't talk about fluoride, which we all agree is in the water, and whether it should or should not be, that's so simple as a discussion. And then we're supposed to bring chemtrail information and geoengineering to this guy? I mean, yeah, it needs to be a critical mass because the politicians aren't going to do anything but hide it.
I agree. And that's the bottom line. That's why when people start talking about certain steps in this equation, the only benefit for those steps, for example, filing a lawsuit, is to bring attention to the issue. The lawsuit itself probably will not get anywhere, but once people know that they've been a part of this grand and lethal experiment and that they can connect their child's autism, perhaps their grandparents' Alzheimer's, to these programs, I think we're going to have a very different equation and very quickly. So, and we look at who hasn't been hurt, from farmers to environmentally concerned people, although they've been incredibly lame in this equation so far. I was on the radio with Greenpeace's top scientist about a month ago, and clearly he knows. Clearly. Anybody who listened to that interview would say he knows this is going on.
I would expect him to be upfront about it if he's with Greenpeace. I would hope he would be.
Nope, not at
really?
All.
Really?
In fact,
not Well,
at
how
all.
Do they benefit from hiding it?
I think that they are told behind the scenes that
they're
whatever they're allowed to do, they're right. allowed to do certain things and not allowed to do other things, or the hammer will fall.
Right, and well, you won't now, be able to do anything, right? We'll shut you down across the board.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And in the case of, I don't know if you're familiar with Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman?
Yes, great show.
Well, it is, except, and I supported Amy's show for a long time at great personal expense, airing it locally to the tunes of $15,000 over an annual period. And yet, I was so disillusioned by Amy in that her complete abandonment of this issue, and I know she's abandoned it. I know people that work with that group, and that she has been bought, sold, and paid for now by the Ford Foundation. She
wow.
won't talk about 9/11. She won't talk about climate engineering. And the problem with this is, as much good journalism as she's done, if her followers believe that if it was happening, they would know it because she would tell them.
Right. It's even more dangerous than Katie Couric or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So okay. I get what you're saying. Listen, we have to wrap it up pretty soon, unfortunately, but I'm going to ask the perfunctory question. Will you come back on sometime?
Absolutely.
And
pleasure, Alan.
I'm glad you were here. And the other thing I want to ask you before we go, I like to offer a little ray of hope, even though it might be difficult, is are you familiar with William Reich Orgon, the substance that he apparently invented, and its ability to disperse chemtrails using crystals, copper, iron filings, resin, heat, etc., to build things? There's a gentleman named Ken Rolla. I don't know if you know him. R-O-H-L-A is last name, and he's got a website, and he sells all kinds of strange things. And apparently, you can disperse a chemtrail with some kind of orgon. What are your comments on that?
I've seen those claims. I haven't seen anything to make me feel to convince me of those claims. I'll say it in that manner, and I would say no matter what, even if such a thing existed, we would still be faced with having to stop these programs. And to leave people with a ray of hope, I would leave them with this hope. We can stop these programs if we simply all pull together and got this to the light of day, it would change the dynamics of our equation, and no matter how dark the horizon looks, if we know that bringing to light and to a halt the climate engineering programs, which are the single greatest destructive force on the planet right now, if we know that's a quantum leap in the right direction, why wouldn't we try to achieve that goal? No matter how difficult our situation looks overall, if we know that that's a quantum leap in the right direction, we must go that route. So, again, if we all pull together and share credible data with people in a credible manner, I stress that. You don't run out in the street and rant and point at the sky. Do it credibly. But if we do that, we'll have this to the light of day.
Is that a dig at me because I ran in the street and pointed at the sky?
I wasn't going to mention you.
Well, I did do that, but yeah, that was a long time ago. I was freaked out. I was like, what is that? Yeah.
Yeah. But we have information flyers, for example, on the front of Geoengineering Watch. They work great. People can download them for free, print them locally, color glossy, two-sided. It works 10 times better than anything you can say to somebody. You pass on credible data.
I'm sorry. I lost you a little bit there. What is it on your website that you can?
Information flyers.
Okay.
Information flyers are, people can download them for free. It's a single page, front and back. It's a very effective, thought-out flyer. Also, SkyderAlert.com. I'm sure you're familiar with that site.
I downloaded it today. There's a great app you can get from iTunes. I'm looking forward to using that. Unfortunately, this is the part of the show I hate, and it always happens. I can't seem to figure out how not to go through it. but it's over. We're done.
No worries.
Go home and eat cookies and milk. Dane, I really want to thank you for coming on. I really want to get people to at least consider the possibility that chemtrails and geoengineering, which are the same thing, do exist. I just want you to look at the possibility. Look at it. Don't ignore things out of hand like that. This really is going on. I think people, if they check it out, they will see it. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you. Thanks for addressing this issue. I look forward to next time.
Thanks for listening to Conspiracy Queries with Alan Park. Please offer comments or complaints by emailing conspiracyqueries@gmail.com or on Twitter @con_queries or at our website, conspiracyqueries.com. Thanks for listening.